18. Rach sat in the anteroom of a public building in Dahl, into which he had never ventured, never could have ventured, as a ragamuffin youth. He felt, in all truth, a little uneasy about it now, as though he were trespassing. He tried to look calm, trustworthy, lovable. Dad had told him that this was a quality he carried around with him, but he had never been conscious of it. If it came about naturally, he would probably spoil it by trying too hard to seem to be what he really was. He tried relaxing while keeping an eye on the official who was manipulating a computer at the desk. The official was not a Dahlite. He was, in fact, Gambledine Namarty, who had been with Joranum at the meeting with Dad that Rach had attended. Every once in a while, Namarty would look up from his desk and glance at Rach with a hostile glare. This Namarty wasn't buying Rach's lovability. Rach could see that. Rach did not try to meet Namarty's hostility with a friendly smile. It would have seemed too artificial. He simply waited. He had gotten this far. If Joranum arrived, as he was expected to, Rach would have a chance to speak to him. Joranum did arrive, sweeping in, smiling his public smile of warmth and confidence. Namarty's hand came up, and Joranum stopped. They spoke together in low voices while Rach watched intently and tried in vain to seem as if he wasn't. It seemed plain to Rach that Namarty was arguing against the meeting, and Rach bridled a bit at that. Then Joranum looked at Rach, smiled, and pushed Namarty to one side. It occurred to Rach that while Namarty was the brains of the team, it was Joranum who clearly had the charisma. Joranum strode toward him and held out a plump, slightly moist hand. "Well, well, Professor Selden's young man, how are you?" "Fine, thank you, sir." "You had some trouble getting here, I understand."
"Not too much, sir."
"And you've come with a message from your father, I trust. I hope he is reconsidering his decision and has decided to join me in my great crusade."
"I don't think so, sir."
Joranum frowned slightly. "Are you here without his knowledge?"
"No, sir. He sent me."
"I see. Are you hungry, lad?"
"Not at the moment, sir."
"Then would you mind if I eat? I don't get much time for the ordinary amenities of life," he said, smiling broadly.
"It's all right with me, sir."
Together they moved to a table and sat down. Joranum unwrapped a sandwich and took a bite. His voice slightly muffled, he said, "And why did he send you, son?" Rach shrugged. "I think he thought I might find out something about you that he could use against you. He's heart and soul with First Minister Demerzel." "And you're not?"
"No, sir. I'm a Dahlite."
"I know you are, Mr. Selden, but what does that mean?"
"It means I'm oppressed, so I'm on your side, and I want to help you. Of course, I wouldn't want my father to know."
"There's no reason he should know. How do you propose to help me?" He glanced quickly at Namarty, who was leaning against his desk, listening, with his arms folded and his expression lowering. "Do you know anything about psychohistory?"
"No, sir. My father don't talk to me about that. And if he did, I wouldn't get it. I don't think he's getting anywhere with that stuff."
"Are you sure?"
"Sure, I'm sure. There's a guy there, Hugo Amaril, also a Dahlite, who talks about it sometimes. I'm sure nothing is happening."
"Ah. And can I see Hugo Amaril sometime, do you suppose?"
"I don't think so. He ain't much for Demerzel, but he's all for my father. He wouldn't cross him."
"But you would." Rach looked unhappy, and he muttered stubbornly, "I'm a Dahlite." Joranum cleared his throat. "Then let me ask you again. How do you propose to help me, young man?"
"I've got something to tell you that maybe you won't believe."
"Indeed? Try me. If I don't believe it, I will tell you so."
"It's about First Minister Ito Demerzel."
"Well?"
Rach looked around uneasily. "Can anyone hear me?"
"Just Namarty and myself."
"All right, then listen. This guy Demerzel ain't a guy. He's a robot."
"What?"
exploded Joranum. Rach felt moved to explain. A robot is a mechanical man, sir. He ain't human. He's a machine.
Namarti broke out passionately. Jojo, don't believe that. It's ridiculous.
But Geranum held up an admonitory hand. His eyes were gleaming.
Why do you say that?
My father was in Mycogen once. He told me all about it. In Mycogen, they talk about robots a lot.
Yes, I know. At least, I have heard so.
The Mycogenians believe that robots were once very common among their ancestors, but they were wiped out.
Namarti's eyes narrowed. But what makes you think that Demerzel is a robot? From what little I have heard of these fantasies, robots are made out of metal, aren't they?
That's so, said Raich earnestly.
But what I heard is that there were a few robots that looked just like human beings, and they live forever.
Namarti shook his head violently.
Legends. Ridiculous legends. Jojo, why are we listening?
But Geranum cut him off quickly.
No, GD, I want to listen.
I've heard these legends, too.
But it's nonsense, Jojo.
Don't be in such a rush to say nonsense. And even if it were, people live and die by nonsense. It's not what is so much as what people think is.
Tell me, young man, putting legends to one side, what makes you think Demerzel is a robot?
Let's suppose that robots exist. What is it, then, about Demerzel that makes you say he is a robot?
Did he tell you so?
No, sir, said Raich.
Did your father tell you so? Asked Geranum.
No, sir. It's just my own idea, but I'm sure of it.
Why? What makes you so sure?
It's just something about him. He doesn't change. He doesn't get older. He doesn't show emotions. Something about him looks like he's made of metal.
Geranum sat back in his chair and looked at Raich for an extended time. It was almost possible to hear his thoughts buzzing. Finally, he said, "Suppose he is a robot, young man. Why should you care? Does it matter to you?"
"Of course it matters to me," said Raich. "I'm a human being. I don't want no robot in charge of running the Empire."
Geranum turned to Namarti with a gesture of eager approval. "Do you hear that, GD? I'm a human being. I don't want no robot in charge of running the Empire. Put him on holovision and have him say it. Have him repeat it over and over till it's drummed into every person on Trantor."
"Hey," said Raich, finally catching his breath, "I can't say that on holovision. I can't let my father find out."
"No, of course not," said Geranum quickly. "We couldn't allow that. We'll just use the words. We'll find some other Dalite. Someone from each of the sectors, each in his own dialect, but always the same message. I don't want no robot in charge of running the Empire."
Namarti said, "And what happens when Demerzel proves he's not a robot?"
"Really," said Geranum. "How will he do that? It would be impossible for him to do so. Psychologically impossible."
"What? The great Demerzel? The power behind the throne? The man who has twitched the strings attached to Cleon the First all these years, and those attached to Cleon's father before him? Will he climb down now and whine to the public that he is, too, a human being? That would be almost as destructive to him as being a robot. GD, we have the villain in a no-win situation, and we owe it all to this fine young man here."
Raich flushed. Geranum said, "Raich is your name, isn't it? Once our party is in a position to do so, we won't forget. Dahl will be treated well, and you will have a good position with us. You're going to be Dahl's sector leader someday, Raich, and you're not going to regret you've done this, are you now?"
"Not on your life," said Raich fervently.
"In that case, we'll see that you get back to your father. You let him know that we intend him no harm, that we value him greatly. You can tell him you found that out in any way you please. And if you find anything else you think we might be able to use, about psychohistory in particular, you let us know."
"You bet. But do you mean it when you say you'll see to it that Dahl gets some breaks?"
"Absolutely. Equality of sectors, my boy. Equality of worlds. We'll have a new empire with all the old villainies of privilege and inequality wiped out."
And Raich nodded his head vigorously.
"That's what I want.